Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning, and welcome to those who are joining us on Zoom and or listening at other times or wherever. It's good to see everybody here for what is our harvest service. Alison.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer and you might like to sign the visitor's book. Today, as Norman said, and we can all see, it's Harvest Thanksgiving, and as usual, the dry goods will be donated to the food bank, along with any cash from the sale donated of the fresh fruit and vegetables, which will be for sale after the service. And there's goods outside as well from yesterday's coffee morning. The walking group, we have a church walk this afternoon. This will be a local walk in Cairnhill with the route to be decided, and there will be the usual coffee stop at the end. Meet in the church car park at 2 o'clock, if you're brave enough. Coffee morning. A big thank you to all those who baked and helped on the day, and those who braved the weather to support us. A tremendous £199 was raised on the day, which was great, and there's cakes for sale after the service, and the bric-a-brac stall is still up in the Irene Patterson room for anybody who wants to see about that. There's no Zoom facility on the 22nd of October due to holidays. We can't provide a Zoom presentation on the 22nd, so we do apologise for that. Blythewood's Care Shoebox Appeal 2023. The church is once again supporting the Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal. Last year, 88,816 shoeboxes were delivered to people in need across Eastern Europe. You can help by filling a shoebox, donating items from the list, which we will use to fill the shoeboxes, donation of money towards transport costs, also very welcome, and pray for the people who will receive the boxes. Leaflets are available in the vestibule or can be downloaded from the Blythewood Care website. And donations can be made up until the 29th of October. And there's also hats and scarves and gloves knitted by the ladies of the church, which are suitable for the shoebox, and they're on sale each Sunday in the Irene Patterson room, and they're £7 a set. So, the Christmas Craft Fair, donations wanted for that. Our Christmas Craft Fair will take place on Saturday the 4th of November. There will be lots of stalls in the church offering products from local crafters. Teas and coffees will be served in the manse, and in preparation for the fair, donations of craft and Christmas items for the church stall will be very welcome. Contact Dot Downey to discuss that on 881379. And now a quick look at the order of service. I have one more item. Do you like to sing? Cairnhill Parent Council are looking for singers for their Christmas fair on Wednesday the 22nd of November, 6 to 8 p.m. at the school. Anyone interested, please pop along to the manse on Thursday the 26th of October at 3:30 or speak to Irene Scott. So that's Thursday the 26th of October at 3:30 if you want to sing at the Christmas fair for the kids. Thank you.
I have, I suppose really two intimations. The first is to say that I'll be absent from the pulpit for the next two Sundays because I am sort of on holiday next week, but I probably won't be away from the manse until towards the end of the week. From next weekend to the following weekend, Alistair will be looking after any pastoral emergencies that happen to come up. Hopefully there won't be, but Alistair is the person to contact. We have had a bereavement in the congregation, and that is Douglas Fotheringham sadly died very suddenly during the week, although he has been quite ill for some time. His funeral is going to be on Tuesday the 24th, I'm just trying to make sure I've got the right date in my head, 24th at 1:15 at the crematorium. So if you you know, if you don't remember that, then please contact me. And of course, remember the Fotheringham family in your prayers. Let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory, hymn number 172. Sing for God's glory that colours the dawn of creation. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive these gifts of produce and gifts of money. From your great goodness to us, we offer our gifts on this Harvest Sunday. We ask your blessing upon all that we give, as it is used to your glory and the care of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Alistair is going to be leading us in prayer this morning.
So let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Christ, our God, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. Father in heaven, all good gifts come from you. You send the sunshine and the rain, and it is through your love and care that we can enjoy harvest time. We praise you for providing so richly for our needs and ask you to help us to share the good things we have with those who have little or nothing. Lord, we praise you for your blessing of every kind of harvest that we enjoy. We praise you for the harvest of the land and the sea. We praise you too for the harvest of factory, mine and workshop. Also the blessings of research and creative art. May we work together with you in every area of life to produce what is worthwhile good and fruitful, and may you be glorified in it all. For the beauty of each hour of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. Christ, our God, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. To you we also raise our prayers of confession. Forgive us, Lord, for the damage we have done to the earth. Forgive us that the rivers and seas have been polluted by the waste of our civilization. Forgive us that the air has been turned foul by burning fuel and radioactive emissions. Forgive us that flowers, fauna, and wild creatures have become extinct through our relentless invasion of their natural habitat. Forgive us that we have often valued profit more than the quality of the environment in which people have to live. And so we bring before you now our own personal confessions. O Lord of heaven and earth, bless the worship of your church in this place, that we may hear the living word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And hear us now as we join together in saying these words of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 233. Come, you thankful people, come. readings for this morning come from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament and from Matthew's Gospel in the New. And Alison is going to read for us. I assumed it was you, Alison.
I'll do it, no problem.
Would you like this? Oh, no, it comes... Are you better on screen?
Right, okay. So this morning's readings are from Deuteronomy 24, verses 17 to 22. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. When you are harvesting in your field, and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. Then we go on to read from the New Testament, Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9, 18 to 23, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds had gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what it was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. Amen. May God bless this reading to his holy word.
Thank you, Alison. I'm sorry if the message didn't get through. Hymn 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. Is it not? Christ be our light. Oh. All right. Yeah, it must be the title of the chorus. That's fine. We're singing what I thought we were going to sing. Thank you. have a short video clip now from a group called The Hive. This is an organisation way down in the south of England that is addressing an issue that we all know about, that there is a lot of food and yet people go hungry. And actually, in some ways, the punchline comes right at the beginning, because the statistic there, I almost had to go and look at again and go, really? That's where our world is. So this is all about one organisation's way of dealing with waste in their area of the country. And hopefully this will all work perfectly. I had problems down in lime kilns, but that was all to do with my computer. So Derek will no doubt have got this working far better than I did.
Our environment is changing, and it's not sustainable. What we're doing, you know, the world produces enough food to feed 10 billion people, and yet we've only got 8 on the planet. We cook, blast chill, vacuum seal, freeze, and then distribute. We are delivering effectively a boil in the bag meal to those people who are the most at need and need it the most. The recipes that we create are around 70-30, so 70% veg, 30% protein, and it comes in the form of bolognese, or this week it's quiche, right? Because we've got 32,000 eggs around us, which is, that's over a ton in weight of liquid egg that we've been given. So what do you do with a ton of egg? The process which we use, it mimics the military ration pack. Essentially, we take food which would ordinarily go into landfill and or biomass incineration and or anaerobic digestion, and we then process that into nutritious meals. But we do it on an industrial scale. So whereas other charities would not be able to accept the volumes that we can, we are also giving the food longevity, so we give it life.
I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home.
I think Tuesday Boris made the announcement, and then the Cornwall Council got hold of us and said, if we were to provide you a facility, how quickly could you respond and how many meals could you provide at the Truro area? We spent a week planning, and then week one, we started to produce meals coming out of a kitchen. And at the end of that week, we had produced 5,000 meals. This was like zero to hero in less than a week. These are Cornwall Council stats. 16,000 children are suffering from food poverty within Cornwall. After housing, that turns into 30,000. And that's around 1 in 4. That's still there. That's not gone away. Coronavirus has highlighted that, I think, further. And those people that, you know, are struggling even more than. There is an abundance of food within the UK worldwide, which is destroyed, which is still fit for human consumption. So in this country, from farm through to retailer, there is around 6 million tonnes. Now that, if you divide that across the county, that's 125,000 tonnes in Cornwall, and probably more than that. So you've got a paradox of abundance, right? So there's all of this food, and yet the 1 in 7 in the UK is going hungry. There's nothing wrong with the food. It just doesn't meet the retailer's standard. And, you know, you speak to the farmers, and they'll tell you there are fields and fields and fields which are unpicked. And the reason they're unpicked is because, like for cauliflowers, for example, the collies are too big. They won't pick up, They turn around and say, well, that's commercial suicide. I'm not picking any of that. And if they're too big, that's it. They get discarded. There's nothing wrong with them, mind. We're creating, the food system is broken. And the only way it can repair itself, because it's stuck in this trap of overproducing. If you accept the fact that the waste is always going to be there, then what you need then to do is to provide a solution that actually is going to give that food life again. and go back to feeding people. And when you look at dry freezing, that's a game changer for the world, because that shelf life of 25 years, right? And weighs next to nothing because there's no water content. So it's within our grasp. It's just want and will. That's all it is.
I think that's what's called food for thought. We're going to sing that one hymn that I'm pretty sure you can't actually have a harvest service without. At least, I don't think I've ever been to harvest service without we plough the fields and scatter. And strangely, it's not in the autumn section of the hymn book, it's actually in spring. Because I suppose when we plough the fields and scatter, it's maybe not what we're doing at harvest time. And but just so that you know that miracles do happen, I think, according to Irene, we got harvest service right this year. Because she assured me that James got the harvest in just before the bad weather. So this is absolutely the right weekend to celebrate harvest. And you may even see a farmer with a smile on his face.
You're that good, I wouldn't ask that. That's what the podcast is.
So let's sing, We Plough the Fields and Scatter. Last year we sang the hymn Praise God for the Harvest. I didn't choose it for this Sunday for this year. This hymn was written by Brian Raine and is very much a hymn that you could describe as being a harvest hymn for our industrialised and technological society. The first verse begins by praising God for the harvest that comes from orchard and field, and it is absolutely right that we begin there, because so few people now live in the countryside, and even fewer work the land as compared with the time that this hymn was written, and of course past times when most of us would have had some connection to the land. I think I said years ago something about the generation above my parents all being farm workers, and the farmer I was speaking to shrugged and said, yes, if you go back far enough, we were all on the land. But that is not true in our urbanised society. So in that first verse, a recognition that we are dependent upon the land and what is grown. A recognition of the work and skill of the farmer, but also that farming is about science and machine too. Through the hymn, we are encouraged to thank God for the many people upon whom we depend. Through all of this, our dependence upon the physical resources of this planet. The third verse is a wee bit of a problem in today's world. It talks of the harvest that is quarried and mined. I suspect that if it were written today, the hymn would omit mention of oil and coal. As we come to terms with the effects of our use of fossil fuels, we might want to omit mention of these things from a harvest list. But in some ways, I find that troubling too. We might want to think of what that says to people in the present, but an awful lot of people in the past who worked in dangerous industries to provide the fuel for our industrialised society. We certainly need to change how we use the Earth's resources. But we also need to care. And care is the key to any kind of harvest celebration. And so perhaps the very last verse of Wren's hymn is the most important, because it talks about a harvest of mercy and love. It talks of freedom and justice. And the last words, which I suppose links in to the video that we watched a few moments ago, the last words of the hymn are, "All may be fed." That verse, praise God for the harvest of mercy and love from leaders and peoples who struggle to serve with patience and kindness, that all may be led to freedom and justice, and all may be fed. It is no great surprise that many of Jesus' bits of teaching used illustrations from fishing and farming and the world that he lived in, which was a very rural world. People lived far closer to the earth than we do. Many of the parables tell us something about the kingdom of heaven and what it means to live within God's kingdom. Jesus said that he came so that we would have life to the full. God calls us to live out his love, truth, and mercy. Our calling is to freedom and justice that is absolute. Absolute, because something that is of God is infinite and eternal. When we look at the Old Testament, many of the laws regarding harvest were to do with care for those who are in need, those who could not have a harvest, because to have no land often meant that you would starve. The harvest in the Old Testament is seen as a sign of God's favour, as a gift of God, and that requires both thanksgiving and responsibility. And of course, that is as valid today as it ever was. It may not be about harvesting to the very edge of your field or picking all your grapes or whatever, but thanksgiving has to have responsibility. The criticisms that we find in the words of the Bible, and particularly the words of Jesus with regard to harvest, is that this is where it is to do with injustice, greed, lack of care for others. Biblically, harvest has an ethical dimension. The traditional view of harvest thanksgiving as a celebration of all things rural is important. We must not make the mistake of romanticising this traditional image. Some of the imagery depicting an idealised view of farming from the past has absolutely no basis in reality. I don't think farming has ever had that, what is it, a bucolic rural picture of rosy-cheeked farmers. So, we ought not to romanticise the picture. We are dependent upon the land and those who work the land. Of course, the process of getting food to our dinner table involves many different people. How many people have we depended upon already today? How many people are we depending upon when we get to our lunch table today? Those who work the land are also dependent upon many others. We are very much interdependent in our industrialised and technological society. We should also remember that harvest in our world is far from being local. It's not even limited to national. It is international. Now, there is an importance to sourcing things as locally as possible, but that does not take away from our dependence upon a worldwide harvest in its broadest sense. This is also a reminder of our responsibility from local to national to international. If this is a real harvest thanksgiving, we are expressing gratitude. Gratitude to God for his goodness requires that we show gratitude to the people involved in serving us through their labour, because we too would want people to be grateful to us. Gratitude means that we don't take things for granted, either things or people. True gratitude has no place for greed. And greed is one of the great temptations that comes from materialism. Because if what we have is most important, then there is a tendency to say, how cheaply can I buy things, which has a knock-on effect that devalues or can devalue the people who serve us? And it is also a way of saying, how much can I keep for me? Harvest reminds us to find value in each other rather than in things. The reason for choosing the parable of the sower was because of what it says, not just about a picture of what it meant in those days to sow, but the real meaning that Jesus wanted us to draw from that parable. We are those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. We belong to God's kingdom. If people are going to see what God's kingdom is, that is us. And having heard words about harvest, having seen that video about one project in one part of our country addressing a very real problem in this country of having so much food and yet people go hungry, of farmers literally ploughing things back into the ground because they won't retail. We've heard the words. And Jesus was saying, well, what happens with the words about the kingdom? Do they just get snatched away? Do they have no root and wither? Do they get choked by all the other things? Or do they grow to 30, 60, or 100 times? It's an uncomfortable parable. Jesus' words are usually uncomfortable. And when people say to me, as they often do, there are some passages in the Bible that are really difficult, and what do you do with this very difficult passage? I've always said, when I've dealt with the things I actually understand, I'll maybe go to those. Because we do understand, we know that there is an imperative within the gospel that love be at the heart of everything we are. As those who live out the love of God, harvest is a moment of great joy. Harvest celebration is something we should absolutely have. But it's also about responsibility, about gratitude, and what we do as God's people. So as we think beyond our walls, Alistair is going to lead us in our prayers for other people.
Let us once again come before God in prayer. Let us pray. We thank you again, Father, for the beauty of all that you have made. We thank you for the trees, for wildflowers, and the flowers we grow in our gardens, for the mountains and valleys, rivers and lakes, the sea and the delights of the seashore. You have made so much for our enjoyment, and Lord, we give you our thanks. Father, we recognise that we live in a divided country, the haves and the have-nots, where many are struggling to buy food. We give thanks and pray for the food banks, including in Dunfermline. And we are ashamed that they are needed at all. We pray that those who have the means will think of others, including the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, and donate what foodstuffs they can, sharing in the harvest they enjoy. We live in an unjust world. When we think of recent events of this week, again we pray for Ukraine and suffering the bombing of civilian areas, of the violence yesterday of in Israel and Palestine. And we continue to pray for the peace of Ukraine and of Israel-Palestine. So in this unjust world, we pray for justice to be upheld. We think of those in prison. Loving Father, we ask that this coming week, Prisons Week, will raise awareness and encourage compassion and prayer for the needs of prisoners and their families, for victims of offenders, prison staff, and those supporting ex-offenders as they adapt to life outside of prison. Sovereign Lord, we appeal to you as the God of justice on behalf of Christians in many parts of the world who are unjustly accused and even given prison sentences for their loyalty to you. We pray that their faith in you, our faithful, upright God, will not waver, even if justice is delayed, and that they will be comforted in knowing that they are being tested for honouring you. We ask you to give their lawyers skill to navigate the complexities of stringent laws and present their cases with boldness and confidence. We pray for successful outcomes, knowing that they have a righteous advocate on whom they can depend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Great Physician, we are aware of the inequalities in global health. We pray for the ongoing development and success of medical and caring initiatives, especially in the poorest parts of the world, by governments, NGOs and community groups that aim to save lives, prevent disease and support sick and frail people. We pray for those living with dementia. Lord, in weakness or in strength, we bear your image. We pray for those whom we love, who now live in a land of shadows, where the light of memory is dimmed, where the familiar lies unknown, where the beloved become as strangers. Hold them in your everlasting arms, today and for all eternity. And we ask you to bring peace to those near the end of their lives. Loving Saviour, please draw near to those who are dying. Grant that they may have the opportunity and desire to make their peace with you and be filled with your love. You promise to comfort all who mourn. So we remember too those who are grieving the death of loved ones at this time. We give thanks for the life and witness of Douglas Fotheringham. And so we ask your comfort for his family. Give them strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And in the silence, we now bring to you our own personal prayers of those in need of your love and care at this time. So, Father, we bring you all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Our closing praise, Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Hymn 153. now, in the faithfulness of God, with his presence to a world in need. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.